more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke. The future of immigration reform at the federal level remains in doubt, stalled in the House of Representatives, where key Republican leaders oppose the package backed by the Senate. In Milwaukee, the issue of immigration is often linked to other issues such as the labor movement, a nexus at work in the labor unrest at Palermo's Pizza, in which some workers sought to organize and the company fired dozens, citing a lack of employment verification documents. The plight of the workers was taken up by a Milwaukee organization, Voces de la Frontera, and its founder, Christine Newman Ortiz. She's the subject of a profile in the current issue of Milwaukee Magazine by writer Kurt Chandler, who joins us to share his perspective in the studio. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mitch. It's great to be here.
What makes Christine Newman Ortiz a particularly compelling subject for you?
Well, I think she was almost born for the role that she occupies as executive director and founder of Voces de la Frontera. Her parents were immigrants. Her father was born and raised in Berlin as the Nazi Party was coming to power. Her mother was born in the Yucatan in Mexico, born into poverty. And both parents immigrated to the U.S., educated, grew into professional roles themselves, and became naturalized U.S. citizens. They traveled around before they settled in Milwaukee, where Christine's father teaches at UWM. And Christine herself was born in L.A., lived in Spain, Venezuela, Oregon, and Alabama. So she saw a lot as she was growing up. And as I say, she seems to be made for this role. As she was becoming educated, she went to UW-Madison, where she got an English degree. Not the most marketable degree in the world, but she went on to study Chicano history at the University of Texas in Austin. And in doing research for her master's, she began working with a woman named Martha Ojeda, who was working with maquiladoras workers, who were primarily low-income, low-skilled young women who worked in the free zone along the border, south of the U.S.-Mexico border, in factories. Martha Ojeda organized these workers, and I think Newman Ortiz was inspired that and essentially is doing the same thing.
I think you make the point that she seems almost born to play the exact same role here in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Ojeda was a role model to Newman Ortiz, and that's one thing she's doing as the director of Voces.
So what part of the region's Hispanic population do you see that that she especially connects with?
Well, I think the center itself is a service agency as well as an activist group. And as a service agency, they work a lot with non-English speaking, primarily Spanish speaking immigrants, many who are undocumented immigrants, who are trying to get a foothold in American society, who are trying to find work and possibly trying to find assistance. Because many are non-English speaking, the center provides them with services on how to, you know, become acclimated and how to find their way into the system. Along with that, she largely, Voces de la Frontera is an immigrants workers rights group. So they work on labor issues with people who are working or trying to find work, who maybe have been laid off, things like that. So I think that's a very necessary role in the mind of the Voces workers and certainly Christine Newman Ortiz.
And it also makes the organization distinct versus other Latino community organizations, right?
I found it curious in talking to some of those other agencies, some of those so-called legacy agencies, the long-established groups like the UCC, United Community Center, the Council for the Spanish Speaking, and UMOS. They at one time fulfilled that same role. They were working with undocumented workers. They were working with people trying to find jobs, people who had employment issues. And as they grew and I think became more established and maybe more tied to the traditional funding mechanisms that most nonprofits have to adhere to, they weren't able to be as take on as much of a role as an activist group would, such as Voces de la Frontera. And I've had people within the Latino community tell me that they see a niche for Voces because they can't do that kind of work anymore. They're sort of tied more to the political and fundraising establishment that goes along with being a big multi-million-dollar nonprofit.
Well, and you're right that that Voces has been particularly circumspect in terms of who it will accept money from.
Yeah, Christine told me they will not accept government grants or corporate grants. So they try to choose who their funders are and try to cut any ties to, you know, any political connections that might change the way they operate, change their tactics, change your strategy.
That comes at a price, though, because they clearly have not raised the same kind of money that these other community groups have.
Exactly. And they've taken a lot of criticism from some quarters on their tactics and their strategies, but they feel that they're independent and they feel that they are representing a certain segment within the community, really within the state. They've steeled themselves to that criticism that they've heard, particularly in the Palermo's Pizza labor dispute.
Well, right. And so let's talk about that, because you write a great deal about her and Voces' work in the Palermo's labor situation. How do you see that as emblematic of the overall role that Voces de la Frontera plays?
Well, again, I think it was a classic immigrants' rights issue here. Palermo's Pizza has a long, storied history in Milwaukee. Jack and Zina Faluca came to Milwaukee from Palermo, Sicily, and grew a business here, started a bakery, started a restaurant on the east side, opened up a frozen pizza factory on the south side, and expanded to the Menominee River Valley. It was one of the first, if not the first, company business to build a new facility in the reinvigorated valley. So they won a lot of praise from the business community and elected officials for that. After they had opened, workers had some disagreements and issues with working conditions at the factory, and they contacted Voces de la Frontera, their service center, with some of these complaints. Cristina Newman-Ortiz met with Palermo's several times on some of these issues to see if they could straighten things out or suggest some changes. But after a while, these complaints persisted, and they began talking about forming a labor union, and they started organizing clandestinely. They didn't want repercussions by the owners, by the managers, and it all sort of came to a head in May of 2012. But to answer your question, I think this is what they feel one of their key roles is. Others might disagree. Others might say they should just keep their nose out of labor disputes, out of union politics, and stick to immigration rights. But Christine says right from the start, they were a workers' rights group.
This is the nexus, really, between immigration reform and labor movements.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it makes for some strange bedfellows. And at the same time, it creates some conflict within those two groups, and as critics will say, it alienates parts of the community.
Right, and this is conflict with people who you might expect to be in league with Voces de la Frontera, people like Mayor Tom Barrett, for example, and Chris Abley.
Chris Abley, right. They, of course, as elected officials, welcome the growth of Palermo's Pizza and see any strong, harsh criticism being detrimental to that growth. So they take a bit of a standoff position when it comes to this labor dispute. I think it puts them in a corner, and they would rather not be in that corner, would they?
Well, and there are also some within Latino circles who have taken that same tack. The Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and at least one Hispanic newspaper have been at odds with Voces de la Frontera over
yes.
the Palermo's issue.
Exactly. And you would expect the chamber to be, because the chamber often represents traditional business, even within the Hispanic community. Christine and her group take hits from a lot of areas.
But it seems like even so, there's a great deal of respect for her and the work that she is doing, even from some who would be critical of her particular stances.
Right. Within the Latino community, I heard that particular groups had nothing against Palermo's, and Palermo's was actually quite responsive to the needs of the Latino community and helped out legacy groups such as the UCC. Yet at the same time, Ricardo Diaz, for example, the executive director of the UCC, says, you know, it's been a long time since there was a voice such as Voces representing the people in need, people who are Spanish-speaking immigrants.
And from here, even as the Palermo's situation moves towards a resolution to the degree that it's not resolved already, you would expect that Voces de la Frontera is going to be more and more wrapped up in the larger immigration reform efforts?
Depending on where that goes. Seems to be quite stalled at the moment and not quite sure where that will lead over the next several months. I think that's just one of the fronts that Voces is involved with. Certainly immigration rights has been big. They've been arguing, demonstrating, holding protests on behalf of undocumented workers, on behalf of Mexican Americans, or Mexicans rather, who have been deported, which splits families. They've been very active on that front. Yet they also see a need to continue not only representing immigrant workers, but even pushing back at Palermo's, hoping for a better resolution than one that the federal government agencies have provided. Christine has said, you know, maybe someday in the future, they will try to organize again, try to organize workers again at Palermo's Pizza. And meanwhile, they keep the heat on, hoping that the workers' conditions there will improve. There have been some safety violations. There have been some complaints about discrimination, long hours. So these were issues that Voces hoped to work out through a labor union that they created, but it didn't turn out that way. They were repelled by Palermo's. And in this climate, in this day of anti-union sentiment, it's not much of a surprise. What I think is a surprise, or what can be counted on, is that Voces is not going away on issues of this sort.
Kurt Chandler, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mitch. Always good to be here.
Kurt Chandler is a Milwaukee area writer. His article in the July issue of Milwaukee Magazine profiles Voces de la Frontera founder Christine Newman Ortiz. You'll find a link to it from wuwm.com/lake effect. One last break, and then writer Jess Walter talks about the flawed but redeeming characters that populate his latest novel and much of his fiction. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.